You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, Oscar nominations are out, and there are some major snubs, but some good stuff in there for sure. And how do you feel about the price of a movie ticket these days? We have the national survey. Plus, the 1,000 foods you need to eat before you die, according to the author of the book by the same name. Let's meet the friends. Making the ugly news pretty, it's Aaron Myers.
Well, if you want to eat for free, you better be good looking. I'll tell you where you can get a free meal if you're hot.
Would you like your news in the arm or the buttock? Gonzo Greg Spillane is here.
That's right, Phil. Happy birthday. I got you a present. It's called the flu, and you're going to get it, and I will tell you why coming up.
And like a punch to the head, it's Chris Martin.
There was a time when boxing was one of the most watched events in America, and a new mega fight might bring that kind of interest back to the sport.
Mega fight. I think I have a feeling who you're talking about. All right, let's get things rolling. And thanks for the birthday wishes there. I appreciate it. Everybody brought me cards. How thoughtful. I wish I was that thoughtful. I'm working on it. But guys, you're great. I appreciate it. I'm feeling old, though.
I was going to ask you how old you were, but I know that that's you're not supposed to do that, right?
Right.
You never ask somebody how old
no.
they are.
No. You can ask. Okay, fine. You can ask.
You don't look a day over 40, if
well,
I can throw that out
there. Thank you very much.
There you go.
I appreciate that. But I am indeed a bit older than that.
40 again. That's yes. what you say. 40
there you,
again.
There you go. Thanks for the advice, Aaron. All right, take us to the restaurant, will you, Aaron? Start us there.
Yeah, well, if you're in the middle of China ever, apparently if you are drop-dead gorgeous, you can get a free meal at this restaurant. It's actually a Korean restaurant, and they offer free meals to the 50 best-looking diners each day. And here's how they pick. You have to go up to a touchscreen pad, and there's a camera that takes a picture of you, and a bunch of local cosmetic surgeons then evaluate your looks and decide who's the prettiest, and then those people do not have to pay.
Wow.
Yeah, not very nice, but and they are saying that because it's cosmetic surgeons, maybe the ones who have to pay might, you know, be trying to get business from the other patrons,
yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, great.
But the city's not very happy about it. They actually demolished the restaurant's sign because they thought it's making the city look bad.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Do they charge you more if you're, like, extra hideous? You know,
that's probably the next step, yes. Or they give you a consultation with the local cosmetic surgeon.
I'm not an animal. I want free food.
I just want a burger. Come
yes,
on.
Right.
Sanctuary.
Sorry, sir. We don't serve that. All right. Thanks, Aaron. That's an awful idea. But
yes,
I sure would like to find out, you know, go to the door and it's a self-awareness check, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Like you show up, I don't get the free food? Really? Well,
wait a minute. Where I come from, I'm gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
How about 5% off? Am I worth that?
No discounts. A sliding scale, maybe? Because like when some weirdo comes up to you and they're horrible looking, you're like, wow, what a freak. But if someone's attractive, you're like, hi, how are you?
Let me buy you dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
By the way,
kind of the same concept.
I'm told I'm being taken to a Korean restaurant tonight. So hopefully.
Maybe it'll be free.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a discount.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that code for something?
Yes, it is. Everything's
I'm taking
code.
You to a Korean restaurant.
You know, like the kids say.
Right.
All right. So, Aaron, the scammers are out there. And if a scam works once, you can bet they're going to keep using it until it gets old. And what are they doing
yes.
in New York?
Well, they are doing virtual kidnappings. And that's where scammers make random calls and they find victims and they say, somebody, your loved one, we've kidnapped them and you need to transfer a small sum of money for them to be released. And they'll actually have like screaming in the background.
Whoa.
So people are actually sending money and they do think that the people that are targeting might not want to come forward. They might not be necessarily in the country legally. So, you know, a lot of people are giving away money to
yeah.
rescue their family members that have not been kidnapped.
And they forget to just pick up their phone and their other phone and call up and find out if their kid's asleep at home.
Right.
Yes. And, you know, they've had, I guess, they think about $1,900 was one of the bigger ones that was transferred over. So they've been doing this. Been doing this for 18 months.
That's not a big ransom.
No, they're asking for small amounts, but they're doing it a lot.
Yes.
So
you can get the volume.
Volume,
yes.
volume.
And the FBI is now looking into it, so you know, we'll see.
Finally.
the scam is evolving. It used to be you just get a letter that says, like, hi, I'm King Jeffrey Joffreys from, you know, Southern Africa. And I remember that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember?
Yes.
I have a Swiss bank account that I need your money to help.
Still waiting
and
on that transfer.
And then I'll give you that money, yes, right. back. You'll make millions if you give me this.
I'm pretty sure the first time I got that email, I mean, back in the late 80s, maybe 87, 88.
They had email
like that.
Then?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, AOL.
Right. No, and there are a bunch of different types of email addresses. In fact, I think my first email address was a number. But just the same, the first time I got one of those, I think I fell for it.
Yeah.
But
wow. It was novel at the time.
Yeah, but like, I didn't send any money.
That's good.
Yeah, but I fell for it. I thought it was real. But then I realized, ooh, I'm getting this email from 100 different kings every other day. All right, we were in New York a moment ago. Something else they have in New York? Lots of cabs.
They do. And actually, this is from Philadelphia, so another big city with lots of cabs. But there was a cab driver in Philly who, I guess, took a guy on literally a two-minute drive, and the guy tipped him $1,000.
My goodness.
And the cabbie said, you know, I think you made a mistake, and his fare said, nope, I know what I did. And this happened last month, but the guy it all just went through.
You ever try to get a cab and the cab driver won't take you because your trip is too short?
Yes.
No, I've never had that happen.
Lots of times.
Huh. Yeah.
I like getting a cab just for the thrill. It's like if I can't get on a roller coaster, I'm like, how can I feel like I'm on the verge of death? I'm going to take a cab. Let's try this.
Uh-huh.
I can't understand your language, and also you're driving like a maniac.
Yeah, and then when you really want to live on the edge, you leave your laptop in the back seat and get out
also,
after you pay.
Also
the,
do that, or your phone, or what have you.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
And then try to get it back. So, Greg, while you're busy talking to us, why don't you expand a little bit on this birthday present that you have for me?
Yeah, I have for you the flu. And we all love the flu because the phrase coming out both ends is something that you always want to say. But apparently, yeah, even if you had the flu shot, because you're like, oh, no, I'm fine. I've had the flu shot. Yeah. If you can find one, because they're hard to find. But that's not going to work either because they screwed up. Or actually, they're blaming it on the flu genetically kind of mutating like the Andromeda strain since they came up with the initial shot. So yeah, there's a genetic mismatch. So now if the flu virus gets in you, it gets in you and it sees like the flu shot and it just kind of goes, and then you have the flu anyway.
Yeah.
The flu shot is not entirely effective, although they do say that if you can find one, you should probably still get it because your odds will be better.
If the flu gets in you. That was a Peter Frampton lyric from
I believe so, yes. Yeah, the flu gets in you.
All right, there you go.
Do you feel like I do?
Yeah. Chris, I think we're all looking forward to, we have been looking forward to, a matchup in the boxing ring. And I do wonder if these two fellows, at least maybe one of them, is in the twilight of their career. And it perhaps is a little too late, but the money spends the same.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think both these guys are probably in what you'd call the twilight of their career. I mean, they're both still lethal. But really, the only two names we know anymore in boxing is Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. There was a time when boxing was a big deal, and you knew all, especially when the heavyweights were big, you know, and the Ollies and the Tysons and all those
guys.
Yeah, like
UFC and the other types of mixed martial arts things have kind of diminished our interest in boxing, don't you think?
It has, yeah. It's really watered it down. But now, you know, Floyd Mayweather is always a draw, and the reason is the guy's never lost a professional boxing match. Manny Pacquiao says, look, I'll fight you, no problem, but I'm not giving you most of the money. I'm just as much of a draw as you. Well, Manny Pacquiao said, look, all right, you get the majority. You get 60% of the funds. I get 40%, and let's fight. Let's get it on in May.
So what's he getting, a couple hundred dollars?
A couple hundred dollars. They're estimating that Floyd Mayweather will pull down about $120 million from this fight.
Oh, so that's a $200 million purse, in other words.
That's right.
60-40, something like that. So Pacquiao would get maybe $80 million.
Somewhere in that arena, yeah. And there's, you know, also Mayweather's got to put his legacy on the line to fight Pacquiao.
I heard Mayweather's in great financial or fiscal situation, and Pacquiao just the opposite. I've heard that he's gone through his money through different handlers and people and henchmen and all that sort of thing and bad deals that
that he's a little down on his luck when it comes to cash. Have you heard that?
No, but you know, that's the exact opposite of what I would have thought, because Pacquiao was like, you know, he was a governor down in Mexico. He was helping out with all these political arenas. And
yeah, governor,
Mayweather's a guy who couldn't even read a commercial.
Well, yeah. Remember, Pacquiao was a recording artist, too.
Yeah, he's a singer.
Oh, that's right.
He had, like, operatic singing.
But I wonder if the studios make him put out, like, a couple million bucks to, you know, for the studio time and the production and the distribution of his album. And then nobody buys it.
Yeah.
It gets played once on TV and radio, and people laugh at it, and nobody buys it.
Everybody. Didn't we get bored with boxing, too, because it was just so ridiculous?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, people, you know, Tyson biting ears, and then all these weird, you know.
Right.
You know, what do they call it? Judgments, calls, whatever. You know,
right.
The judges, mm-hmm. the boxing judges.
Olympic like, boxing. Olympic boxing kills it. It started with the Olympics in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, where the Korean judges were just, I mean, it was clear. They were
right.
They were cheating.
Outright.
Right. Yeah. There was the guy from America who was just absolutely dominating. He was punishing the Korean guy. It was like, you know, hands down, three rounds, it would have been 6-0, 6-0, 6-0. The Korean guy ends up winning.
Right.
Yeah.
I felt like Oscar De La Hoya had a couple of fights like mm-hmm. that, too, towards the end of his career, where it was questionable on whether or not he even kept up with the other guy, and yet the cards come around and De La Hoya holds his hand up.
Yeah.
Right.
One
yeah.
constant in boxing is the ring girls.
Yeah. That's yeah. right.
They're good looking. So, they'd get a free meal.
Yeah. yeah.
Free Korean food for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you just go hi-yo? My goodness. All right. We all watch The Bachelor. You watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
No, I refuse.
You refuse to watch
yes.
it?
I do too.
I
oh,
a train kind of
wreck.
Time. Mm-hmm. I can't invest that amount of time.
No, it's just hilarious. Family entertainment. But there's been some criticism that it's just Lily White.
Kind of.
And there's been talk about or questions to ABC. Hey, how about a Black Bachelor? When are we going to get one of those? Up next on Phil Hewlett and Friends, we will reveal the Black Bachelor next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Gonzo Gregg is here, Aaron Myers, and Chris Martin. That's the show. And after years of talk, there's finally a Black Bachelor. Unfortunately, he's not actually on The Bachelor. In fact, he's not even on network television.
What?
But these are baby steps. Match Made in Heaven debuts on WE TV February 4th, featuring a guy named Sean Bullard trying to find the one from a pool of 24 women. He's helped in his quest by Pastor Ken Johnson.
Oh, that's a switch up right there.
Yeah. Mm. So I don't know if these are going to be drunk floozies like the regular Bachelor is, or...
Well, we can hope.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think it's the Bachelor unless you have a group of drunk floozies.
Yeah, that's what makes a good family viewing.
If there's a pastor, do you, instead of get a rose, you get a Bible, maybe?
Ooh,
I don't know.
Right. I don't know.
That could be interesting.
So maybe the pastor marries them on the spot. Look, mm-hmm. if you're going to make a commitment, young man, let's do it.
No messing
at
around.
Least,
no.
Hopefully more coherent than that Juan Pablo guy, which, yeah, you
well,
know,
let's,
box of rocks right
let's
there,
wet your dude. Whistle for this show, because apparently there is a lot of crazy going on in the house, including Sean's mother, who says, quote, ready for this quote? I will F up a B word for messing with my son's heart.
Yeah.
That sounds like a mama. Yep.
You know what? Yep, I'm in. I'm fully invested in
the show. That's way better than The Bachelor. If you have a mom on there,
it's too bad I don't get the Wii channel.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't even have cable, but I'm getting it to watch this show.
Yeah, it's women's television.
By the way, Sean_Bullard, B-U-L-L-A-R-D, on his Instagram, there's a picture of him in a window in a high-rise with his shirt off.
Is he good looking?
If you'd
from a man's perspective.
Well, if you'd like to take a look, let's see. Aaron, give us the judgment there. Good looking black man.
Yeah. It's a selfie, I think.
Looks a little bit like Reggie Bush.
Maybe.
Does he? Yeah, Reggie Bush with a beard.
Guy's got some muscles.
And the glasses that kind of give him the little, I'm very intelligent.
Nicely cropped beard. A couple of gray hairs in there, too. Interesting.
I'm kind of bummed. I thought Terrell Owens was going to get that gig.
Did you really?
Yeah, that would have been great.
Had you heard that was the case?
I did. I heard that a few months ago.
Well, there's always a second season.
Had my fingers crossed.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Hey, so what's going to happen ultimately is Sean Bullard here is going to find a lady. They're going to get married. They're going to have little children. And there are different types of moms out there, Aaron.
Yes.
I don't know what you know about this.
Well, see, I'm a cat mom, so not that much, actually. But there's tiger moms and helicopter parents, which we've heard about.
Sure.
Well, there's a new one called the snowplow parent.
Snowplow?
Yes, and it's defined as a person who constantly forces obstacles out of their kid's path, and they have their eye on the future success of their child, and anyone or anything that stands in their way must be removed, or I guess plowed, you know?
Yeah.
Just snowplow them down. And they're the type that at school, the kid never does anything wrong. They want special treatment, things like that. So, you know, another way for parents to...
Sounds like the tagline of a Your Mama joke. Your mama's a snowplow.
Wait, I didn't even know the... hold on, I'm out of the loop on the... What's the tiger mom?
You don't remember the tiger
mom.
This is the one... No, tiger mom is the one that just is on you to study... And if you don't do your homework or your chores or whatever it is to become an absolute excellent, graduduate of Berkeley, then she beats the hell out of you, it is.
Yeah, not a lot of love and support by tiger moms usually.
Yeah, this is...
A woman that wrote a book about tiger moms.
Yeah, she was the original tiger mom. She coined it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All righty.
Now, you know, if the tiger mom thing doesn't work out, you can always work at a strip club, Greg.
Well, sure, and I'm sure some do. In Chicago, thank goodness they do, because there's a strip club on the northwest side of Chicago known as the Admiral Theater that has just actually received a neighborhood award for all their efforts to improve the area.
Was there a bit of blight in the area?
They keep the neighborhood clean and beautiful, as well as provide, and I love this, top-notch customer service.
Oh,
but of course.
So they've been rewarded for that. Yeah. In fact, they've been recognized before. I think it was back in 2010, according to the information I have, that they had an amazingly great toy drive.
Oh.
They came up
with... What kind of toys?
Five carloads of toys for kids they offered a free lap dance to anyone who donated an unused unwrapped toy before Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Which results... Yeah, five carloads of toys.
That is a good promotion there.
There you go. And is top-notch code for something?
it may be. It's like the, it's like the when you go upstairs. And
How's their buffet?
I don't know. I'm not familiar
very important
with
aspect.
The Admiral Theater in Chicago, but next time I visit, I will make it a point to go.
What part of Chicago was it again? The southeast?
On the northwest.
Northwest. Okay. Yeah. All right. Not the best part of town, I'm guessing.
I don't know. I'm not that familiar with Chicago.
Yeah. You know what? These days, Chris, they're really training kids for just about every eventuality, aren't they?
Yeah.
What do you hear out there? What's on the street? What are they doing at the schools?
This one's pretty interesting. Over in Alabama, there's a middle school, and they're implementing a new training session for the children. And what they're doing is they're stockpiling canned foods in the classroom. You remember when we used to have canned food drives?
Oh, yeah. In the event there's, an apocalypse or something, you got something to eat.
Right. Or even sometimes you
donate
do it
them.
To donate to homeless people.
Who can have something to eat in the event of an apocalypse.
That's exactly right. Well, at this Alabama middle school, they're stockpiling canned foods for a last-minute defense against possible shooters.
What?
Yeah. So they sent out a letter to the parents explaining children can hurl cans of peas and corn at people. that might want to harm them in the classroom.
Wow.
No kidding.
What if they accidentally take one of themselves out with a flying can? That's
There's going to be some collateral damage, I'm
sure.
What,
is this one of those big like sliced pineapple and juice cans, or what is
right,
it?
No. It's not a giant Dole can. They've actually decided that the 8-ounce cans are the best for these middle schoolers
to
be
like
able
tomato
to
paste?
Grow.
They're still growing muscles, so that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? You take one of those to the head, you're probably down for the count.
Yeah, it's going to mess you up
Imagine
good.
A barrage of those.
And this is Alabama?
Alabama.
Makes sense.
Right.
It would have to be a coordinated attack, because seriously, if there is a person with a gun, all right, in the school, is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Right. So it would have to be sort of like a coordinated, what was the Mel Gibson movie, Freedom?
Braveheart.
They would all have to hurl the cans simultaneously.
Oh, but, pelt them.
Right. Look, like in the movie Jumanji, you know, when the guy with the beard and the safari hat, he was armed, he had a rifle, and they knocked over that whole display of paint cans on top of him. Remember that?
Yeah.
Were they paint cans? Or was it pineapples sliced in their own juice?
I think it was pineapples. Yeah. I don't remember what kind of
pineapples
cans it was.
Pineapples are dangerous, so.
They got away, right? Well, that worked out. That was a coordinated attack, and it was only two or three people.
You're talking 30.
These kids have slingshots. Maybe that's the way to go.
That would be fun. 30 students behind desks hurling cans, though.
Yeah.
It's going to throw someone off their game.
Oh, yeah.
I think it sounds fun, but it's a ridiculous idea.
It really is a stupid idea.
Wow. That is something. Hey, you know, something else. This morning, early this morning, all the movie buffs were up and early to hear the Motion Picture Academy announce the Oscar nominations. And they did all of them, not just a handful of them. And Manny the Movie Guy is not pleased with what he heard this morning. And he joins us to vent next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. See if you agree with him. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And today, this morning, the Oscars came out. And it's quite a thing when the Oscars come out, because all the movie reviewers go absolutely nuts. Right?
Is it the Super Bowl? This is considered the Super Bowl of acting,
probably,
right?
Probably. Similar. But people just, I think, care less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Maybe.
They care less
than for the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, see, here's the thing. The price of a ticket these days, how much do you pay to get into a movie? I've not gone to a theater in so long. I have no idea what it costs.
It's ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous, depending on what kind of what theater you go to. I mean, you can, for two people, can spend, you know, on popcorn and a ticket like $50. So
$50?
Mm-hmm.
Two
tickets and maybe a popcorn and a drink. It just depends on what theater. It's crazy.
Yeah, and if it's if one of those with the fancy seats and you can order cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
I love the cocktail theater.
Yeah. I have been to one, and it was for kind of an off-movie event. It wasn't for something that was happening currently, but it was an event, and they showed an old movie. But they had an actual bar, and you walk up to the bar and order what you want and go back into your fancy seats, and it was actually nice.
Huh. Probably makes a bad movie much better.
Yes.
It does.
It absolutely does. It makes the popcorn taste better,
that
too.
That, too, yeah.
And it's easier to wash it out of your teeth, you know, with
or
the
Or you can go to the drive-in and bring a six-pack. But I'm just saying.
Well, here's a survey from The Hollywood Reporter. Actually, The Hollywood Reporter reports on it. It reveals nothing we didn't already know. People think movie tickets are too damn high.
Mm-hmm.
The average ticket price at the end of last year was $8.08.
Where is that?
Well, see, what they're doing is they're working in the $2, $3 places. And that's up from $7.48 a year earlier. 53% of Americans blame prices for not going to movie theaters more often. And that was the number one reason for people not going to the movies. My number one reason is all the people going to the movies.
Yeah, because there's other people in there with you.
That's why I don't go to the movies anywhere, because people just don't know how to act in public.
Oh, yeah. When you go to the Twilight movies, the little girls in there going, screeching the entire movie. It was painful.
I know what that was like going to the Twilight. Wait a minute. I didn't go to a single Twilight movie.
Oh, come on. You have daughters.
Did you go to all of them?
I saw all of them.
No, my girls are not Twilight girls.
I'm not either, but I still went and saw it.
Yeah. So meanwhile, 41% say that they don't go to the movies.
because they aren't as interesting as they once were, which is an interesting thing because there are a lot of good movies, from what I understand, coming out this year. And joining us live to talk about the movies that are going to be recognized for how interesting they are and perhaps how excellent they are is KMIR-TV movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy. Manny, I know it's a busy day for you, running back and forth, talking about the Oscars.
How are you guys? That's right. I've been up since 4 in the morning waiting for the Oscar nominations this morning. We aired it live everywhere, of course.
And I know you've been so busy with it already because I was reading through your review of this morning's Oscar nominations at MannyTheMovieGuy.com. And I got to tell you, Manny, at least from your perspective, it sounds like today was Snubsville in Hollywood land.
It's always a Snubsville in Hollywood and at the Oscars during every year the nominations are announced. I mean, you know, there's just no way that all of our favorites will be up there. But there's a lot of just, like, if you want me to talk about the snubs really quick, one of the biggest snubs that hurt my heart is Jake Gyllenhaal's snub for Best Acting nomination. I think that guy poured all his heart and soul to this role of Lou Bloom for Nightcrawler. He even lost weight for crying out loud, and even infamously hurt his left hand shooting the film, and you know, and he wasn't.
You gonna be okay, Manny?
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, you know, we always heard that if an actor loses weight, gains weight for a role, I mean, you know, they get nominated. But apparently, in Jake Gyllenhaal's case, it's not the case.
I'm sorry for your loss.
They shot some of that at my other job in the station.
Another one too. Selma is also largely ignored. Sure, it got a Best Picture nomination, but besides that and a Best Song nomination for Common and John Legend's Glory, I mean, that's pretty much it. I was hoping that the Academy will have its first black, African-American woman director nominee, but alas, nothing either.
When that misstep happens between Best Picture, when there's Best Picture is nominated and the director is not nominated, what, that just doesn't make sense, right?
Right. Well, just like American Sniper, it's a fantastic film, and you know, Clint Eastwood is an Oscar darling. You know, they showered 6 nominations for American Sniper, everything but Best Director. There's just a lot of great directors this year. I think this year the theme is, the power of small movies. I mean, all of the top 8 nominated movies are all, none of them are blockbusters. None of them made more than $100 million at the box office.
How did Angelina Jolie do for her movie about Mr. Zamperini?
Unbroken, yeah. If the Academy loves Clint Eastwood, they apparently do not love Angelina Jolie. Her Unbroken were pretty much relegated to the technical categories like cinematography, sound mixing, and sound editing, but nothing for Best Picture or for Best Director for Miss Jolie herself.
Oh, her heart must be hurting this morning.
Yeah, I mean, she also poured her heart and soul to that.
That's not the kind of encouragement you want from your peers. I mean, she should go on and make more movies, right?
You know, my other biggest bum too, Oscar bum, the Lego Movie. The Lego Movie was ignored. It's my favorite animated film of the year. Most critics, I think, had chosen Lego Movie as their favorite film, but alas, it was ignored. And in replace of the Lego Movie, they nominated some little-known animated films, like The Story of Kaguya, you know?
Yeah. I have a theory. Manny, I have a theory about this. You think about the Hollywood types. You know, there are a lot of rich people living in mansions and glass houses and all that sort of thing. And their kids have nannies who have nannies, and they've got the tutors and the whole deal, okay? All the normal kids out there are building things with their Legos. But the movie stars and directors and movie company kids, they just get the actual car delivered to them when they want one, or an actual building is purchased for them. They don't have to make it with Legos. They don't play with Legos. I don't think Hollywood can relate to Legos.
Legos are
I think this is what has happened with the Academy.
Legos are evil because when you step on them in the dark, they are the most horrible thing ever.
Yes. But they keep physical therapists in business.
Exactly. But I thought the Lego Movie was awesome.
Manny the Movie Guy is with us right now, as he is at this time every week. And usually, Manny, they just read off the nods for a handful of categories, but not today, huh?
No, for the first time ever, they read all 24 categories. Chris Pine and Cheryl Isaacs Boone's Academy President read the last 13, including Best Picture. And last year's Oscar winner, Alfonso Cuarón and J.J. Abrams read the first 11 categories.
Gotcha.
You know,
all right.
Technical one.
You know what? Considering all of your disappointments and heartaches with today's announcements, are your predictions still intact?
Oh, yeah. Well, here you go. You know, Boyhood is still up there, although Boyhood only received 6 nominations. The Academy loves Birdman and The Grand Budapest Hotel, which I also love.
I liked it. I saw that one. It's one of the few that I've seen. I loved it.
Yeah, and that both of those films, Birdman and Budapest, received 9 nods apiece. So, yes, I mean, all of my favorite films are still up there, and they're still in the running, and I'm still rooting for Boyhood, so we'll see. Tonight is the Critics' Choice Movie Awards, where I vote for. I'm a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association. This is our party. I'm going to be there tonight, not on the red carpet or working the red carpet. I'm just going to be there to drink and dine.
There's alcohol.
Hey.
That's what makes the Golden Globe so interesting. So the Critics' Choice.
Drunk by the end of the evening.
Oh, you with a couple of cocktails in you? I don't know what's happening after that.
You guys are looking for a great Oscar predictor. It's not the Golden Globes. It's really the Critics' Choice Movie Awards. I mean, every year, like for instance, last year, out of the 19 shared categories with the Oscars, we predicted 17. So, I mean, you know, we're closer to the Academy than the Golden Globes.
I love that. With the NBC affiliate in the Palm Springs, Coachella Valley area, KMIR-TV, movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy, he's on fire this time of year.
You can feel my passion. This is my Super Bowl, I told
you. I know it, Manny. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there he goes, Manny the Movie Guy. Hey, coming up, if you're the kind of person who's not adventurous at all when it comes to eating, you know, you say, what's this, a lot when looking at your plate, or you're the guy who orders chicken strips at the fancy restaurant, then our next guest is not for you. But if you like trying every food under the sun, you will love when we speak with the author of 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die, next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for being here and listening to this, Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron and Chris and Greg are here today. They're the friends. And it's a page-turner, a new book. I've got it in my hands right now, and what the heck, why don't we just get to it? Joining us live is a journalist, restaurant critic, lecturer, award-winning cookbook author with a new book, which I love thumbing through each page to see how I'm doing on the challenge set forth in the book's title. It's called 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die. Mimi Sheraton is the author of the book, and she's with us now. Mimi, thank you very much. And I got to tell you, I get to feeling real good flipping through the pages. Whipped cream, yep. Hassan Pfeffer, check. Lingonberries, got them. But then Stinking Bishop. What?
It's a marvelous, very strong, heady cheese that is very ripening and runny. You sort of have to catch it on the go.
Ooh.
But it's not hard finding it if you follow your nose. And it's a great British cheese. So there's a wide range of the odd and the ordinary, the inexpensive and the expensive. And all parts of the world represented with 1,000 foods to eat before you die.
Right. And it's I'm curious to know how you laid out the book, because it's easy to kind of thumb through. It's almost like following a roadmap. But what did you have in mind when you started it?
Well, actually, the thing that inspired me to do this was its predecessor from the same publisher, Workman, which was 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. And I looked at that and I thought, why not do 1,000 Foods? And I took a few weeks to get over the idea. I knew it would be a horrendous job once I got into it, but I got into it. And that book, 1,000 Places, was sort of a model in terms of the overall look. Both the editors at Workman and I wanted it to be international. We didn't want to use the country name, but rather the adjective, because the best Italian version of a dish might be here and not in Italy. So we say Italian, not Italy.
I got you, but some of your items require that you be in a particular place, like a morning shrimp in Oslo, for instance.
Yeah, you'd have to go to Oslo for morning shrimp.
I'm more of a night shrimp myself.
Well, these are the boats coming in the harbor, and they cook the shrimp on the boats right after catching them. And they sell them in little paper bags warm, and it's quite delightful.
How about the Eskimo menu? Because you have that in there. You've got to travel into a remote place there, don't you?
That's a fundraising cookbook done by Alaskan children as a fundraiser for disabled children. And it describes the strange things they make out of whale blubber and fish fins and things like that.
And so you think we ought to try all of that, right?
Well, I think you ought to read that book. That's a case where the book itself is the entry. There are many menus drawn from books, movies, paintings. The book by Jorge Amado, the Brazilian novelist, Gabriela Clove and Cinnamon, is all about a wonderful cook and how she goes to market in the Bahia area around Bahia, and what she makes, and so those dishes are worth trying because they are authentic Brazilian dishes.
So, and it's nice to add a storyline to what you're eating, and what's nice about your book is there are a whole bunch of recipes so you can make some of these things and try them.
Well, everything had to be available in one form or another, so there are the recipes, and where there aren't, there are references to recipes I have selected in specific cookbooks and online recipe sources. And so many of the unusual ingredients are available by mail. That would not be a problem in your area, but in many parts of the country, it would be hard to get some of the ingredients to prepare the dishes. But so much is online, it's really a gift to curious cooks. And I give all of those mail order sources, most of which I tested. I ordered an awful lot of food anonymously, not as a writer writing a book.
1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die. We're speaking with Mimi Sheraton. Have you tried all 1,000?
I have tried 90%, as I say in the introduction, which leaves me about 10% to still look forward to and be curious about.
Well, see, what I'm doing, I'm going through the book, I'm putting a dot next to the foods I've eaten, and I may do it with the index as well. And by the way, thanks for the index. But
that's excellent. I'm using it myself in answering all of the questions.
Well, that's good. But how do you suggest we set out to complete this challenge?
Well, I think you'd first have to note how many you have eaten, and that may be more than you think. Depending on your level of sophistication and your budget.
Yeah.
And then seeing what type seems to have the greatest appeal in a place that interests you. So it would be a combination of a trip and a dish. You are fortunate in your area to have many, many of the ethnic dishes well prepared and widely available, especially, I would say, Asia and Latin America. You are even in a better position than we are here in New York on those two cuisines.
Mimi Sheraton, I have one question left for you, and I want to get your advice. Speak to the person out there who is not adventurous. They look at their plate, and they wonder what's in there, and you know, they go into the fancy restaurant, and everybody says, "You're ordering that? Come on."
Well, I think they ought to read 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die and see if their curiosity is piqued on anything they haven't tried before. perhaps if they go in with a mental image of it, they'll feel a little braver about ordering it.
Love it. The book's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's called 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die. Mimi Sheridan is the author and just an amazing person. Thanks for compiling all of this, and I take the challenge heartily, and I can't wait to eat the rest of it.
Hope you enjoy it. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Mimi. Bye-bye. Now, do you feel hungry?
For
I'm
some
all
of
in,
it.
I'm on all in on blubber at this point.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bring on the blubber.
Especially if it helps the kids.
I wonder what the most exotic thing in the book is. Did you see anything in the index?
Oh, there are
or anything
all
was...
sorts of
yeah,
exotic
there's a lot
things
of stuff.
In here. Just yeah, here's one. It's called Vatapa.
Mm.
Not telling you what that is,
okay.
But it's exotic. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of these places that serve this kind of food, I mean, sometimes the people go in there and they weren't expecting the food they got, and then they get a bad review in Yelp.
Yeah, when your blubber restaurant gets a bad review on Yelp, what do you do? Because apparently, and this has been talked about more and more lately, is it's kind of tough to undo the bad reviews you get on Yelp because we as people, ordinarily, if you go to an establishment, right, and you go and the transaction is smooth and the service is good and the product is what you want, you walk out and you go, yay, that's good, right? And
right.
You don't think another thing about it. But if you go in and things are bad, boy, oh, boy, do you hear about it. It's the squeaky wheel, right?
This business is going down.
Right, and you're on fire, and that's what's happening on Yelp. So people, if you have a small business, so you open your little blubber restaurant on Main Street, and a couple people come in, and I don't know, they don't like blubber.
Yeah.
And so then they write horrible
things
about
the blubber's a little googly today.
Yeah. Is it trending? And so what happens is if your business gets a few bad reviews that come up on the top of your Yelp page, then apparently what Yelp does is call you up and go, you know, if you advertise on Yelp, we might find a way to make those go away.
Oh,
yeah.
Like bribery.
And there might be some better reviews as well.
Right. It's a little bit of a, yeah, there's all, yeah, also maybe, possibly.
It's a shakedown.
Yeah.
It is a total shakedown, apparently, is how Yelp is operating. They deny it, of course, but
there are people out there that write reviews for Yelp, and they're like star reviewers, and they get little benefits and perks from Yelp, and they don't necessarily even ever set foot in some of the establishments they
yeah,
review.
There's writers. Yeah, if you're like a freelance writer, you can pick up a few extra bucks just writing up little things about, oh, this place
yeah.
sounds good.
And get a coupon good for a free meal somewhere.
Right, exactly. So just don't. Maybe blubber is better than everybody says it is.
Hey, it's big movie day, and just a quick note here. The Beatles were once in talks to star in a Lord of the Rings movie with Paul as Frodo, Ringo as Sam, George as Gandalf, and John as Gollum.
That's weird.
They even approached Stanley Kubrick to direct this edition of Lord of the Rings, but thankfully J.R.R. Tolkien nixed the product.
Yeah,
all
but he
together.
Let that animated Hobbit come out in 1980, whatever it was.
Oh, that was awesome. Come on. What are you talking about?
No, it was the worst. There's
hey,
less walking in that one.
Oh,
than
that's
the new
right.
ones, at least.
A lot of walking. Love the walking. Hey, that's it for hour one of the show. More coming, including what 39% of people do on the first date. Careful leaving a bad tip. The waitress might exact her revenge. And a woman who's married to her cats. Those stories and more in our second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, remember Elon Musk's idea to stick you in one of those vacuum tubes and send you from Los Angeles to San Francisco in a half hour?
Mm-hmm.
He actually has a test track that's coming together. We'll tell you where it is and how when our tech guy joins us live. And if you love craft beer, now you can get a degree. We'll tell you more about it. Friends are here, Aaron Myers, Gonzo, Greg Spillane, and Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Get things started here with you, Aaron. Everybody's talking about actors and actresses this morning, and there
yes.
is an actress out there who's doing something interesting. Who is it, and what is she up to?
Well, she won't be winning an Academy Award. I'd be surprised if she ever did. That being said, okay. Jessica Biel is actually doing something quite interesting. She's opening the first, I guess the world's first gourmet restaurant geared towards kids. It won't open until May, and it's interesting because she's going to actually have a baby, I think, in April. So maybe this was all why it's happening. Who
Built-in
knows?
Customer.
Exactly. And, you know, some of the pictures are kind of cool. It's like rainbow cheesecake with sprinkles and ice cream on it.
Oh.
And it's going to be in West Hollywood, and it's called Aw Fudge.
Au fudge? Oh, like
it's
French.
It's like French, yeah.
Au fudge.
Au fudge, yes. But they do want you to know that there is a liquor license so parents can still come too.
Oh.
Yes.
You mean, what are you saying? Parents can't have a meal without a tipping back a cocktail?
Well, it depends
exactly
on the kids.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
That's why they serve beer at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, right. You both said the same thing. Aaron said it depends on the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. All right.
Some kids.
Jessica Biel, she was great in Flashdance. Is that who that is?
That's Jennifer Beals.
Oh, that's Jennifer Beals. Different?
Different.
So Jessica
Biel. Both have a similar acting skills, though.
Justin Bieber's mom, Jessica Biel?
No, not Jessica. She would not be happy about that.
Refresh my memory. Who is she again?
Jessica Biel was in Seventh Heaven. She's married to Justin Timberlake.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no. Still don't know.
Still don't know?
No.
Oh.
Still, yeah.
She's
no
very
idea.
Pretty, you know,
not
but not
win
the best
Academy
actress
Award.
In the okay. world. So I think this is why maybe she's branching out.
Good
I think
for
that's
her.
A good idea.
Good for her. All right. So we do know, Aaron, that you're kind of a crazy cat lady.
Yes.
And you wear that badge proudly,
I do.
Don't you?
I do. I feel like if you're going to go there, you might as well stand proud.
You're all in.
Uh-huh. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
What's going on with the crazy cat ladies?
Well, thank goodness this one is not about me and probably never will because I'm not this crazy. But there is a woman, I believe in Britain, who married her two cats. And this was actually in 2004.
That's
and
allowed?
They just had their anniversary. Their 11-year anniversary, and apparently, yeah,
I think
cats
we,
15
I think we
years
kicked
old.
Britain out of the United Nations for allowing
because
people to marry their cats.
Because they're way more progressive in Europe than they are here.
Yeah, they're very cute cats. I don't know if they're you want to marry them. Maybe she's from Spain.
Yeah, I mean,
like.
How shallow can you be to marry your cats because they're cute?
Well, kitties are cute. Lugosi and Spider are their names. And there is a certificate of marriage between Barbarella and Spider and Lugosi. So... there you go.
She sounds like a dark person a little bit. She's into the Bella Lugosi was.
Yeah, she's kind of a gothy girl.
Goth girl.
With her. She's married to her cats. Sounds like she may have had a failed relationship previous to this.
Probably. She does call herself a mad cat lady. So not even crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
Mad.
So well, mad is crazy in England. They've got
that's
different.
A, yeah, it's a British term. It's yeah. just, she's just mad. She's
right.
a mad cat lady.
Oh, and they actually celebrated their anniversary, too.
So, okay. Oh, how
they,
cute.
They had tins of tuna.
So, Aaron, what's so great about cats anyway?
They're magical, and I have 13 reasons why. They're like ninjas. They have ninja abilities.
Yeah, they do.
Much.
That's
yes.
true. They do have ninja powers.
They are
they're
very.
Kind of jerks.
They can be.
Cats
they're
are,
very
the
smart.
Are, they're
they plot against you.
Super be jerky. Yeah.
Well, Greg, she has 13 reasons.
They're
okay,
sneaky.
All right, sorry.
You're going to interrupt after everyone?
Yes.
They're good at hiding. They can become liquid. You know, they can like fit into anywhere. They can morph into entirely new creatures because they're so bendable. They can fit into any box, which I think, you know, a lot of us,
that's
jealousy
a,
right
that's
there.
That's a useful
yes,
talent.
To be able to fit into any box. They can defy gravity. They don't abide by napping rules. They can see through walls.
What?
And,
wait a minute.
Now you're just making stuff
no,
up.
No, I'm just saying, or maybe they can see through walls. It's a maybe. They're the masters of escape, and they earn respect from creatures twice their size. They bend the laws of physics, and they are way cooler than pretty much everyone.
Now I
That's
feel
what
bad.
It says.
I feel bad.
Is that 13?
That's 13, yes. Greg, and they have nine lives. I'm going to add a 14.
Greg, you didn't say a thing during the rest of the presentation, and I feel bad about that.
They're jerks, and they knock things off shelves, and
they do things on purpose. I will tell you that. If I'm on my computer, they come and sit on top of it. If, you know, I'm trying to fold clothes, they sit on the clean clothes. Yeah. They do it on purpose. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. They're cats. And someday, cats will be able to get from place to place in a car because cars will drive themselves.
And we all will be going place to place and not driving a car, at least according to Google. Google, in their mind, thinks that we'll have these driverless cars going in like, and then within 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. Well, 2 to 5 years is the window, according to the guy in charge of the Google, you know, driverless car program, I guess.
Yikes.
He's all excited because they've got this, they say, we've got this fully functioning prototype that's been driving on a test track for 700,000 miles and hasn't hit anything yet. But
all the other people in our daily commute aren't on that test track.
Mm-mm.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It seems insane to me that at some point we're just going to take the steering wheel out of the car and the brakes and everything. I don't think I'm on board with that.
See, I've always thought, and one of these days, and let's get a word to Brooke, our producer. I want to get somebody on from Google or Mercedes or some other place where they're building driverless cars. Because the question is, don't you need the entire universe of vehicles on the road to be driverless cars for this to work properly?
Right. Because of the insanity of human drivers.
Yes, people do unexpected things constantly.
Amazing things. I've seen people turn their cars upside down onto their roof for no reason. They just wipe out spontaneously.
Yes.
And like, whoa, look what you did. How did you do that?
You're cruising along on the freeway at 75, you know, because that's what everybody else is doing. And then the guy who's in front of you just, for whatever reason, puts on his brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's because he wanted to change lanes.
I don't know what algorithm you can come up with, but there is none that can predict the insanity that is driving on a freeway. It's impossible.
Well,
I mean,
it might work. Go ahead.
Some of the time, but yeah, it's going to fail. It's going to fail.
What do you think, Chris?
Okay, here's the concept. When they first started talking about these driverless cars, however long ago, 5, 10 years ago, I thought the concept was to create a driverless car lane, and it'd be like the lane that you exit on, so the driverless cars would stay at least 2 car lengths apart.
Yeah.
And not only that, I thought they were going to put magnets in the road so that the car would actually, which would be very simple and sort of cost-effective, so the car would follow this magnetic strip that would make
it's like the
impossible for it to steer off the road. Right.
Yes.
Autopia.
And then you're all the way over on the exit lane, so it's very easy for them to be able to exit anytime, and other cars to squeeze into the exit lane and exit in between them.
Well, see, I'm down with the idea for elderly people whose families want them to turn in their driver's license. I'm down with that idea because, you know, it'll be safer on the roads and they'll still have their independence and be able to go places and they won't become depressed and die sooner than they normally would. But that's the truth. I mean, that's what happens. But for everybody else, I don't know.
They do have services that pick people up, though, too, so it wouldn't necessarily have to be a driverless version of it.
Do you realize how dehumanizing that is, Aaron?
Oh, I guess.
Greg, what were you going to say?
Oh. Are you saying Uber is dehumanizing? What? I don't exactly understand. Here's what I know. When we have all these weird-looking little bubbly driverless cars that look dumb, first of all.
Right.
And second of all, I want to be the one guy that still has like a 67 Camaro and just is out there just burning up endless gasoline and making pollution and driving myself. Thank you very much.
Yes, right. Stick shift. Be able to look over your shoulder when you change lanes.
Exactly. Yeah. How bad is it now you find somebody that, oh, I can't drive a stick? How's it going to be when there's no steering wheel? I can't drive a car with a steering wheel.
I can't drive a stick. I've only done
really?
It. I cannot. My dad was supposed to teach me as a kid. We did one lesson, and that was it.
Well, back in my day, we didn't have toys. We didn't have cars. We just had sticks, so I had to learn how to drive a stick.
All right, so if we're ranting about this, we can rant about just about anything. And up next, Chris is going to rant about something that the entire planet is celebrating today, And I don't know what his beef is, but it has to do with those dudes who are climbing the El Capitan in over there. And wait till you hear what Chris has to say. I can't believe he's going to rant about this. He's got a serious beef, a bone to pick with those climbers. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Hello, thanks for tuning in. Everybody's so excited about these guys. It took them like 3 weeks or 4 weeks, however long it did. They've been climbing El Capitan. That's that, and it's straight up. It's a face. And it's impossible. I don't know how they do it. They're just using their fingernails to climb up the side of this, 500-foot, how many feet is it? 5,000?
3,000 feet.
3,000
yeah.
feet?
3,000 feet of granite.
And they're just up there, and they're sleeping, and their bodily functions and whatever else they're doing right there for the entire world to see. Isn't that right, Chris?
That's exactly right. Everybody's praising this. These two climbers reached the top of that 3,000-foot granite slab known as El Capitan over there in Yosemite National Park. And this all happened yesterday. They got to the top.
How long did it take them?
It took them 19 days.
Man.
They started back in like December 20-something.
And again, they're just using their fingernails, right?
Oh, their hands were just tore up. They were bloody. Their skin was ripped off of their hands. They had Band-Aids all over.
And nobody died.
Nobody died. In the last day before they finally got up, one of the guys fell like 11 times just trying to get around this one very sheer face. But here's what I noticed about watching it on the news and seeing the report given to me over and over and over again was that they were all praising these guys for free climbing the wall, claiming that they had no assistance at all. Well, look, these guys were tied off the entire time. Granted, you can't do it without that. But don't pump it up like they free climbed the wall with no assistance. They had to tie off. They had to tie off their tents and sleep every night. There was plenty of assistance. There was cameramen. There was people setting anchors in front of them. It was a well-organized event.
Right. I mean, so it wasn't fingernails and like chewing gum on the soles of their shoes.
It was in the sections that they climbed, but they'd climb like, 10 rope sections at a time, and then they'd sort of get to a resting spot, and next anchor would be set in front of them. And listen, I don't want to take anything away from them. What a challenging activity that is to do. So stressful on the body. And physically, you can't do it any other way without falling to your death because you're not going to make it 19 days.
What did they do for sleep?
They slept in this tent, man. Mm-hmm. They attach a tent to the wall and they sleep in this hanging tent.
My sister does that. She's nuts.
Is she?
Uh-huh. She rock climbs. And I have pictures of her just like hanging from the side of a cliff, just laying on this little hammock thing.
Some crazy going through your family, huh?
It's certifiable.
Yeah. Probably.
Hey, is this the same mountain that Captain Kirk climbs up at the beginning of that one Star Trek movie?
I think it is.
Well, he did it without anything, right?
Right, and then Spock just zooms up because he's got, the rocket boots on or whatever. He's like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We got to go do universe stuff.
I think Tom Cruise did it after them.
But you are actually proud of these guys. You're not really bagging on them.
Oh, right? No, big time. I've been rock climbing before.
It's the coverage that you have a problem with by people who talk about it, who really have no idea what they're talking about, to say that these guys are free climbing.
Yeah, the news media just tends to leave out the assistance that was put into it. There was a lot of people involved in it, and they just, it's like, oh, these two guys just climbed this face.
But there wasn't a guy up at the top with, like, a winch, like, cranking up the wire.
They just got, pulled up.
There were a bunch of people up top, friends and family. They partied all night after they got up there.
Yeah, all right. Does this happen to you when you're at work, you're in the office, you get emails? You get emails, a lot of them, from the company and from others who work there. You might actually get more pointless emails at work than useful ones, as a matter of fact. A new survey found that the average person gets 36 emails every week at work that are absolutely pointless. There's no point to them. That's about 7 every day, or 1,700 a year. And the 10 most pointless work emails are wishing somebody a happy birthday. The printer is broken.
Nice
to know the printer's broken.
But usually you figure it out.
It's always broken.
There's going to be a fire drill. Now, I tend to disagree that that is a very useful thing because, okay, now I know when to plan my lunch.
Right.
When the fire drill's coming.
Sure.
Someone new is starting today. Make sure to go and say hi. Who left something in the copy machine? You ever get that email?
Yeah, who's going to respond to that, by the way? Oh, it was me. My bad. Yeah.
I would reply all.
Yeah.
Not me. Congratulatory messages about a job well done. Boy, those come a lot in some places. Someone left their lights on. Food is missing from the fridge. Someone stole my stapler.
Really?
And we're out of coffee. Well, that's useful. Now I know when to plan my lunch.
Nothing in there about the good old joke email, huh? Isn't there anything?
Well, that's you better be over that by now because those are just not allowed.
Cute cat picture. Here you go.
Right.
Yeah, don't pass those along in the place. So, Greg, while while we've got you, we might as well talk a little craft brew. there are a lot of people making the craft brew in their basement, in their garage, in their backyard patio. But they're just doing this without the proper certification. Would you agree with that statement?
What are your qualifications? How do you back that up?
Exactly.
Sure. I mean, you make beer in your garage. Whoop-de-doo.
Well.
But now, if you go to Western Michigan University, you could actually major in sustainable craft brewing.
And now, there's a degree?
It will be a degree. It's not approved yet, but I think next year, if you want to enroll, you can major in. And I'm not sure why sustainable.
Oh, craft. That's why it's going to get approved because they added the word sustainable to it. Because that's all touchy feely, professory. Sure. Professors like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it'd be like being LEED certified.
Right.
Yeah.
LEED certified.
Yeah. Now you can major in brewing beer. Now what's interesting, and I found this interesting as a graduate of one of the finer community colleges in Southern California. it's with the Kalamazoo Valley Community College, so it's kind of a joint thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get a Bachelor of Science in Sustainable Craft Brewing.
Wow.
I know, right?
Where was when I was getting into broadcasting?
Exactly right. That would have been beer broadcasting.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe dual major, right?
Like I have a degree in broadcasting. What's the point of that? I haven't been asked once in a job interview where I went to school. But if I went to those same job interviews and I had a degree in sustainable craft brewery,
sure.
Now we've got something to talk about.
It makes you a remarkably interesting candidate for whatever job you're applying for.
I mean, that's even better than being a sommelier.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's in English. First of all.
Most importantly, it has nothing to do with France.
Yes.
And secondly, it has everything to do with beer.
And you're being sustainable, which makes you a good guy because you're doing the right thing to protect the earth.
It would allow you to live in Seattle or Portland, for example.
Yeah. Sustainable. Does that mean you're recycling the beer?
Yeah, I think so. Sustainable means like it's not harmful to the government or to the government. To the environment.
No, you're probably right. That's
also
what it,
right.
Yeah. That's where it is. Yeah, but you drink the beer and you head over to the bathroom, you flush, and then do you have some kind of plumbing that sends it back into the system?
Ew.
No, we run it through that Bill Gates machine that turns it back into beer. Maybe that would be.
That's craft poo, Greg. That's different.
Sustainable beer, you just go right on your plants outside and it actually helps them grow.
Yeah. All right. I don't know about that. You know what? One thing that people do with their plumbing is they take a lot of showers. And this has been in the news this week. Who's that gal who was on The View? And she got in a little trouble on social media when she was talking about white people take too many showers, I think is what she said.
Naya Rivera, she's on Glee.
Yeah.
She was a guest host on The
View. Good-looking lady. And she just started talking without thinking.
That happens.
And all of a sudden, she's got a social media storm. But what's the truth about showering, really?
Well, it's personal choice. Look, you shower to be clean. I shower every day, sometimes twice a day. I'm a big fan of it. But she did spark this debate. And now, of course, scientists and everybody else get involved and say, oh, I wonder what, how often do we really need to shower?
Yeah, like our parents used to take a bath on Saturday nights.
Right.
Or our grandparents.
I still do that.
Back in the day. Then that was it. That's all they got. Once a week.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Okay.
People were quite a bit more
smelly. Is that when they had to like heat it over the wood-burning fire and dump it in a bucket or something?
Yeah. But I think we've become a lot less tolerant for smells.
Yes.
But when everybody smelled back then, we were all, you know, in the same boat.
You're so used to it.
You get accustomed to it, yeah. And it's what attracted us to each other.
Naya said Naya said showering every day is a white people thing, by the way. That's what she said. She's Puerto Rican and African American. But it did beg the question, and a report now says that showering every day can be harmful to your skin as the hot water strips essential oils and some soaps can disrupt the pH level in your skin. So here's a couple quick hints. Keep showers under 7 minutes and use warm water instead of scalding hot water. Use body wash over bar soap and soap up sweat-prone areas only for most showers, which would be the areas that grow hair. Those are sweat-prone areas.
You know the areas.
Or you can shower less and use cleansing wipes in your sweaty areas.
I believe the sweat-prone areas are playing at the whiskey tonight.
Thank you.
Sure, thank
the whiskey-a-go-go. Thank you very much. Hey, all right, we want to get on that Hyperloop thanks to Elon Musk, and he's testing it now. Maybe we can be test people. Our tech guy, Jeremy Antecuni, joins us next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Check out our website, philhewlettandfriends.com. There's so much there. There's the show fun page. There's the links page. The store, of course. There's the about page. And then there's a sub page to the about page with the information about our regular contributors. And one of them is joining us now. He's our tech guy. He's from the app development firm Ignite Mobile Studio. So if you go to that page I told you about, click on his face, you'll go to that webpage. And it's fun. Jeremy Antecuni is here. Jeremy, did I explain or describe Ignite Mobile Studio?
Close enough, and I can't wait for people to be clicking on my face. That sounds awesome.
Doesn't it? Yes.
Sounds like code for something, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Boy, you have some great stories today, I got to tell you, because when I first heard that Elon Musk had this idea, because I'm not a fan of the whole California bullet train idea. It's just ridiculous. It's going to cost 50 times more than they originally proposed, and they may never actually build it, and by the time it's built, we'll have flying cars, I'm sure. But right. But this whole idea of sticking us in one of those tubes they have at Costco and you know, the cash register, and it goes thump, sends you right up to the department where they count the money. It's called a Hyperloop, and why he should just build it. It'd take him like a year and a fraction of the money it would cost the state of California to build a bullet train. Is there any update on this, Jeremy?
There is, and you know, just to give you a little bit of background for those of you that may not have heard about the Hyperloop concept, it was introduced by Elon Musk back in 2012. What's interesting, though, is it's an open source design. So this isn't a project that he's trying to undertake himself. He's actually got lots of people with really big brains that are contributing to this. But the main concept is a high-speed transportation system that is immune to weather. So it's going to be inside of a tube that's contained. There's not going to be any crashes, so that you won't have any risk of crashing into something else. It'll be going twice as fast as a typical jet aircraft, use low power, and of course the ability to store energy so that it's able to operate 24 hours a day.
So twice as fast, we're talking what, Mach 1, Mach 2?
We're talking really fast. Theoretically, Los Angeles to San Francisco in about 30 minutes.
Oh.
So that flight typically takes about an hour, and that would be cut down to about 30
minutes.
Not
even enough time for a nap.
Mm-mm.
Right. So you know, essentially, the way that this would work is it's kind of like an air hockey table on steroids. You know how you've got an air hockey table, there's air coming up and it's lifting the puck off of the surface.
Yep.
So when you hit it with your paddle, it goes super, super fast.
They're going to hit us?
So it's that's kind of similar concept. It's going to be a cab riding on a cushion of air and then using linear motors to propel it down the line. So without any wheels connected to a track, there's no rolling resistance. It's able to really have just a tremendous speed without a lot of pushback.
Can the human body handle that kind of speed?
Well, it would be inside of a container, and of course, so we've got jet aircraft that go, you know, significantly faster than this already.
Also, when you're in a pressurized, vacuumed area or whatever it is, I don't know if it's a pressurized or if it's a vacuum situation, but just the same, you don't feel the G-force unless you go for a dive, right?
Right, and I would imagine that the acceleration and deceleration are going to be gradual, so it's not like all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting still and then you're going, you know, at the speed of sound. So it is, designed for consumers and everyday folks to use. But today, Elon Musk announced that he's going to be building a 5-mile test track, most likely in Texas, and this is going to allow not only the folks that he's working with on the Hyperloop concept, but universities and other companies that are interested in getting involved, a place to actually be able to do some dry runs and test this concept out.
Wow. Okay, who's getting in?
Not it.
I know, I'm not nominating myself.
I think
myself.
You should nominate Phil. Phil? Yep.
Well, yes. You know what? I'm actually into it. I'd like to try it. I mean, you know who they could get is the roller coaster people, the freaks that like to go on the roller coasters over and over again. Those people are all in.
I think it sounds awesome. I'd love to be in there.
Me too. And you know what? If he can build it in like within the next 5 years, and it's here in California from L.A. to San Francisco. Let's just say it happens in the open source, whoever the smart guys are that they build it. And they build it for, you know, $10, $15 million. Even if $100 million, that would still be a fraction of what the bullet train is going to cost, because they're talking tens of billions of dollars. And that's by today's money. When they're done, it might be trillions of dollars. And they'll never make their money back. This Hyperloop, if they built it, then we could just, you know, ash can the bullet train concept, because everybody will be going on this Hyperloop and paying whatever it costs to get there in a half an hour.
Well, if there's anybody that had the wherewithal to help push something like this through, it's definitely Elon Musk. You probably know he's the CEO of SpaceX. He's CEO of Tesla. I also learned that he's chairman of SolarCity. So he's definitely got a lot of smart people working with him. He's got the wherewithal to get it done. So
I like him, because he takes an idea and he says, okay, let's just figure out how to do it. And when they talk about out-of-the-box thinkers, that he's the definition of that, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, well, we'll see what happens with it.
Well, we like to hear what he has to say. And he's in your second story as well. And this is a dire warning. And he's brought in one of the smartest guys on the planet to back him up on this. And what's the warning, Jeremy?
Well, I think that this has been picked up by a lot of media outlets and really sensationalized because, you know, if you read the letter, which I don't think many of the journalists that wrote about this story did, you would actually kind of get a different feeling. But a couple of the headlines that I read, Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk sign open letter warning of a robot uprising.
Ooh.
Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking signed deal to keep AI from ending humanity. Sounds very, very serious stuff. But
it does.
Really,
if those two guys are concerned about it, how scary is that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that if you read the letter, you'll see it's a little more nuanced and certainly less, dire straits as some of these articles have made it sound. Basically, the concept is that, you know, while, you know, artificial intelligence is making great progress, it's moving along, we definitely need to watch out for potential pitfalls. We need to make sure that artificial intelligence systems are doing what we want them to do and don't, take their own actions and get a mind of their own to take over.
Musk say didn't Elon Musk say just a few months ago that we will not just within our lifetime but within the next 15 years or so see robots that are self-aware?
Right, and I think that he also said that within the next we'll see some sort of damage or some sort of accident occurring as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So, the real nuts and bolts of this are the broad consensus: AI is making great progress, but in the short term, we're going to see millions of people getting put out of work as these types of systems take over jobs and other responsibilities that people currently do.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the long-term risk is that it becomes far more intelligent than humans, and then they figure out how to get around the rules that we may put in place.
And just wait until AI falls into the hands of evil.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Isaac Asimov that came up with the rules for robots? Wasn't there a certain rule set that they were supposed to follow?
Right. And no, do no harm to humans, I think, was the rule number one, right?
Right.
The concern is that as they become self-aware and more intelligent than the people that create them, that they may decide to go around those rules.
Jeremy, little time left. One more story here. How popular, ultimately, was Google Glass?
let's say goodbye glass holes. Yeah. Glass is going away. It's been on sale for about 2 years now, but there was no widespread availability for you to buy it as a consumer product. You were able to buy a $1,500 Explorer edition, overpriced, limited functionality, and you kind of look like a creep as you wear this thing around and nobody knows if you're recording them or taking pictures. Google has decided to discontinue it as of January 19th, and I would expect that we see more future wearables, but certainly this iteration of it is dead.
Yeah. All right. Jeremy, thanks as always for bringing us the tech. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Bye.
All right. Up next, what are 39% of people willing to do on a first date? It just made Aaron cringe.
Yeah, that's
you couldn't hear it.
No, that could be creepy. I'm not sure.
That was an inaudible cringe. Ooh. And we will back up that cringeworthiness next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Gonzo Gregg is here. Aaron Myers is here. Chris Martin is here as well. Remember back in the 80s, all the female comics used to, they all had a joke about a guy who used a coupon on a first date. There apparently are a lot of people willing to use a coupon on a first date. A new survey found that 39% of people would use a coupon on a first date. 90% of men say they would try to hide the coupon from their date.
Aww.
But maybe they don't have to. Only 9% of women say they'd be offended if the guy they were with would use a coupon.
I think it's a good test to see, you know, yeah, it's okay.
I think it's a good quality where you want to save some money, right? If you're going to be with somebody for a long period of time, make that commitment that you don't want somebody who's going to blow your cash.
And then see if the person responds. Like, that's for guys and girls. If the guy doesn't like her response to using the coupon, there you go, too.
Now,
says a lot about both people.
It's a better alternative, too, because 19% of men say they'd rather use a coupon than go Dutch on a date.
Well, that's true.
Okay. I can see that.
Don't you already know that the guy's pretty frugal if he's taking you to a restaurant where they take coupons?
Well, you know, these days, almost everybody. I've been to some real fancy restaurants that sell coupons. Not, you know,
all those websites now. Yeah.
Super fancy place on a Groupon once. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Groupon. They've got the Gilt, G-I-L-T website. You can. I went to, who's that chef that yells at everybody on TV?
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, he's got a fancy place in Hollywood. I think it's called The London. My wife and I went there, and we had one of those coupons off of that Gilt website, and it was a coupon. We're in there, and I felt, okay, this is white tablecloth and a guy serving fancy wine and all that kind of stuff, and I'm hearing a coupon.
Right, that's not first date, though. That's your
true
relationship.
Yeah. Not first date, but just the same, I'm looking around at all the other, you know, frou-frou people in there, and I'm thinking, how many of them are hearing a coupon, too? Probably I'm the only one.
Do the chefs in there scream obscenities?
That'd be
part
awesome.
Of the experience. Uh-huh.
What do you mean you don't like my risotto?
Right.
Get out.
Yeah.
That coupon is no good now.
You donkey. Somebody else who had to get out, Greg, is this lady who was living somewhere. Tell us.
I love this. Have you ever been evicted from any place?
Why, yes, I have.
I have as well, and it's never any fun. But when you get evicted from Walmart, it's really, you've got to really kind of probably reevaluate.
How does that happen? You just go there and shop, right?
Yeah, this woman, I guess, and this is in Michigan, she found herself without a place to stay. And rather than just being fully homeless, she just kind of moved into the Walmart. And it took them a few days before they noticed that she was living there.
So they did. They didn't know. So she was hiding in one of those storage bins or what?
Well, I guess it was just, you know, it's a lot of them are 24/7. So she was just there all the time and just moving around, I guess. And eventually they discovered that she was, pretty much moved in.
Well, you got to catch a nap sooner or later. I mean, where would she go
exactly.
For that?
I think that's when they kind of figured out she was living there. The authorities say that she was, quote, uncooperative when asked to leave, which I think we all are when we're evicted from someplace. I guess she had been living with her son. Her son threw her out because of her drinking. So he went ahead and just moved into the Walmart.
They sell alcohol at the Walmarts, too, don't they?
That's what I'm saying. It's not an entirely bad idea. There's a pretty good liquor section. They've got the giant TVs.
So beds and stuff.
There's, pillows and
everything.
Was
she using self-checkout, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah.
I don't have many more details other than that, but it did give me a pause to think that the next time that I get evicted, that maybe I'll just move into, maybe I'll upscale and go to Target.
You got everything.
Fancy.
Well, right. Please. No, the Walmart does the trick because it's got the pharmacy and you can, buy some shampoo. You can do all those different things.
Go into the sometimes there's like a McDonald's in there or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Walmarts are big, so it'd be easier to hide there than at a Target, I think.
I just keep moving around.
Nothing to complain about. But you know what? If you complain at a restaurant, apparently, spitting in your food is not the worst thing that can happen to you.
Oh, no.
A woman was celebrating her 21st birthday at a restaurant in London last month, and she was with a bunch of friends and family, including her 76-year-old grandmother. At some point during the meal, they ordered cake, and the woman noticed the plates were kind of dirty. So she said something about it to the waitress, and we have no idea if it was rude or not, but the waitress responded by outing her as a porn star. It turns out the woman, in fact, does appear on an X-rated channel in the UK called Babe Station.
The Babe Station.
And apparently the waitress recognized her. Apparently an avid Babe Station watcher.
I was going to say, that's interesting that she recognized her.
Subscriber to Babe Station.
And responded by yelling, quote, "At least I don't get my boobs out on TV." Which was a big deal because the woman's grandmother had no idea that her granddaughter was a porn star. So that's when the woman lost it, and the restaurant eventually had to call the cops.
Wow.
And the manager had to apologize, waived their bill, which was a happy ending to the story, frankly. Nice. And no one got arrested, and Babe Station just got a huge boost in promotion because everybody's talking about it.
And Grandma didn't have a heart attack, so it was all good.
Yes.
Okay.
But Grandma's got a porn star.
What was that movie? I think it was called Waiting. So it was about people who work in restaurants, and will clarify why you never, ever criticize the help at all at the restaurant. Because
hope it's cooked properly.
Right.
All right. Hey, some jobs coming to the Los Angeles area and perhaps leaving another area, Chris.
Yeah, Yahoo! is moving one of its main sectors of operations to Playa Vista here in L.A. County. So I guess they just signed a 130,000-square-foot lease. They're going to bring 400 jobs to the area, and it will officially make L.A. the number one tech sector in the United States.
You know, that Playa Vista area is quite a tech area now because EA is there, the game company, video game company, computer game, whatever you want to call it. Google moved there recently. They just built a campus with about 1,200 employees, something like that. And Yahoo's going to be there. So this is really, it's become it's something like Silicon Valley. It's near, if you know the Los Angeles area, Playa del Rey is just on the other side of the Los Angeles International Airport, not far from Marina del Rey. There's a famous creek and wetlands area called the Bayona Creek and Wetlands that go from Playa del Rey out to the ocean, and it's kind of a sensitive ecological area, yet
it's a swamp. Can we call it a swamp?
Right. Yes, but you know what? They have an extra load of those studies that they have to do before you could build your Google or your Yahoo or your EA headquarters.
Right. Microsoft is out there, too, by the way.
They are.
Wow. They are. They have a 20,000-square-foot area out there where they've got a handful of employees.
Yeah.
So it's almost like all these competitors being in the same area, too.
It's interesting because that area was on a couple lists I saw of places in L.A. to live that weren't very popular yet, and that's now going to change.
Right, because the other problem they have with that, with Greg's swamp there in Playa del Rey, is that there are there's a whole bunch of methane gas underneath there that is ready to explode at any moment. And they built a bunch of condominiums and apartment townhomes and all of that in that Playa del Rey area. But they told them, don't worry about that smell.
It won't go boom.
We've got it contained. Yes, it won't explode. That was a big deal over there. And I think we're talking methane because that's what happens when things that very old are under the ground and they continue to change over time. The gases start coming up. But, those houses are right on top of a giant gas bubble.
Maybe you can get a good deal then.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. It's a pretty area, though. If you ever drive through, take a drive through it. And you run one of those companies, though. You got to be a billionaire to buy some of that real estate and open up shop. But
you do.
But that's part of the life of being a billionaire, is it not, Aaron?
It is. And there are really 6 habits that make people hugely successful, apparently. And they're actually pretty... simple, I'm going to say.
I hope
they
shower say, every day is on that
That
list.
Actually is not. That is not one of the 6 requirements. It says to minimize distractions. So, if there's something that takes away your time, get rid of it.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just
like social
media
and things along those lines. If you notice yourself getting distracted, keep track of what is distracting you. Get enough rest. That gives you mental clarity, passion, and energy. Follow a morning ritual. So, keep your morning similar every day. Prioritize your day. So a to-do list of things that are the most important, do it first and then go from there. Take care of yourself. Apparently that I work hard, but I also play hard is something successful men and women do. So, enjoy yourself even if you are working a lot. And then put first things first. So not every task is equal. So you should budget your time properly.
There you go.
So very kind of...
Makes a
sense.
Ton of sense.
Yes.
Like this. This makes sense, too. You know how when you go to the department store, the perfume section is near the door, the front door?
Yes.
Perfumes were originally put near the door at department stores to cover the smell of horse manure and car exhaust from the streets.
I like that. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
Isn't it?
It is.
I mean, now there's still some smelly things near the front door.
Well, yeah, I used to model for Chanel. I would spray people. People would come in, and I would spray them with perfume that they didn't want to be sprayed with.
Wow.
So, yeah. Did you
wear like a fancy, like glittery outfit?
Yeah, no, that you wear a tuxedo, and then you come in, and you like to sample, Chanel, and you spray them, and they go ooh, and they run away.
Did you have the funny colors in your hair back then?
not then, no.
No. Okay.
No.
Well, funny. I meant that endearingly.
Back in my modeling days. Thank you, Phil. Happy birthday, man.
Hey, thank you.
Yes.
Yep.
We're on Twitter at Pfaff Show. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson. Our theme song composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Gonzo Greg Spillane, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett, a year older. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.